Hello and welcome to your Divine Uniqueness show. If you'd like to listen to live episodes and interact with our speakers, you can go to yourdivineuniqueness.com. Your YOUR divine DIVINE uniqueness UNIQUENESS.com.
Hello everyone. This is Monsef Afkar. Thank you so much for joining us today in this new call of your divine uniqueness. And I'm really excited about today's call. We have with us Nora Herold, and I really love her message, and also I love her energy, and she always brings joy and fun into her calls and her lectures, and I'm really excited about that. And today we'll be talking about the reascension process. And we will also take a live question later during the call. And before introducing Nora, I would love to open the space where we can share love with each other. So I invite you for a few moments to feel and hold love for yourself. Breathe in love energy. And when you exhale, feel that you are surrounded by huge and warm love energy. Now, send the energy to all members of our community. To your friends. To your family, and your pets. Thank you. All right, so now I will tell you a little bit about Nora. So Nora Herold has been channeling, lecturing, and doing healing work for over 20 years. She channels a multitude of high vibrational beings, including the Pleiadian Collective, Yeshua, Kaliandra, Inara, the Lyrans, Lemurians, the Fairies, and the Angelics. In 2007, she began receiving transmissions specific to the integration of the fifth dimensional identity and the reascension process, and has incorporated that information into her work. Nora offers private sessions, teaches lectures, and she is a Reiki master and has appeared on film, radio, and TV, and has channeled for people all over the world. You can currently experience Nora and the Pleiadian Collective in the webcast series Interview with ED, Extra Dimensionals. Nora will also be featured in the upcoming film Those Who Seek. And with that, Nora, I want to welcome you to the show. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, hey, Monsef. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for having me here. And for all of you who are tuning in, thank you for being here as well. Yeah, I just love your opening, Monsef, with that transmission of love. It's really powerful. And my dog, Zoe, wanted to come in my healing space with me for the interview. So I was super happy to have that opportunity to send her some love. That was great. Thank you.
Beautiful.
She's definitely a helper in my work, as is my cat, Ursula. And it's interesting when they'll choose to be present when I'm working and when they'll choose not to be. It's always very interesting to me. Okay, hey, everybody, yay!
Wonderful. Nora, I would love if we, maybe you can start talking a little bit about yourself, your background, and how you started your connection with the Pleiadians.
Yeah, sure, I'd love to. So, you know, I was always a seeker, definitely. I'm always very curious, always asking questions and turning over rocks and wanting to know how everything works, and very intellectual in that process initially. So I kind of valued my intellect and didn't really value as much my emotional experience, valued more my intellect and my intuition. So that took me into reading tarot cards and playing with crystals and, you know, doing all that kind of stuff all through my 20s. And then I kind of started to really create experiences in my life that forced me to recognize the intensity of the emotional experience I had been running all along. So, of course, I used some pretty significant drama in my day-to-day life to get my attention and open me up to the wealth of the emotional experience I had always been having, but I had not valued as much, in part because I had been programmed away from appreciating my emotional experience and programmed instead into valuing my intellectual experience. So I hit this point where my emotional reality was so intense, I went into a depression and I started asking for help. And in one of the ways I asked for help was on an evening back in 1996. I was with a friend and she was sharing with me about another woman who was channeling her spirit guides. And that immediately piqued my interest and curiosity. I had this immediate sense of, that's the thing I've mm-hmm. been looking for. Because I really had been on an active search for almost 30 years at that point. When I was young, I was fascinated by extraterrestrials and beings from other dimensions and time travel and ideas about reincarnation. That was all incredibly fascinating to me, and I constantly wanted to know the truth about those things. Again, though, from a very intellectual perspective, which I understand now, you know, that really was an obstacle for me in mm-hmm. having these experiences. So that night, when I was in that very vulnerable and open place emotionally, I made an intention to connect with my guide. And, you know, in a very short amount of time, I would say within a minute, I felt this presence with me that was so incredibly unconditionally loving. I'd not ever experienced love like that before as Nora. So it was undeniable to me that something was occurring, and that being presented with this kind of flash of yellow light. I knew his name. I identified him as male. Started with an M. And I heard him tell me that he had always been with me and that he loved me. And, you know, that was kind of it for my initial contact and connection. Meanwhile, my friend was sitting next to me having a very similar experience with her own guide. So the two of us together really facilitated each other and had a magnification in our own personal energy fields in working together in that way. And I think that made it much easier for us to connect in that moment. And subsequently, what I came to understand was that she and I had done work like that together in many other lifetimes as well. So that also factored in that I was hanging out with my wonderful friend Amy, soul friend Amy, who I then began having past life memories about, lifetimes in Atlantis and Lemuria and Avalon and all these other places where she and I had played together in that way before. You know, so that set me off on this journey of connection and exploration, and I started remembering all these other lifetimes, and very soon afterwards, I met Wendy Kennedy. So some of you are listening, you may know Wendy Kennedy and her work with the Pleiadians, right? So Wendy and I were dear friends 20 years ago, at the beginning of our journeys in our work with the Pleiadians. Amy was our connector. And when I met Wendy, she handed me the book Bringers of the Dawn and said, by Barbara Marciniak, and said, oh, you need to read this. And as soon as I opened it and connected with the Pleiadians through Barbara's work, I established my own direct connection with the Pleiadians as well. It was clearly evident to me in my body that I knew the Pleiadian energy, and in my heart and my consciousness, I was interacting with family. So there's another piece to this. Yeah, there's another piece to this. So, you know, I began working with the peas, and so all the other beings that I work with and interact with. And just a few years ago, I began to receive information from the Pleiadians about how many of us experienced genetic alterations and manipulations in our early childhood years. And they would share that information with clients, and they would share that, you know, they would give personal stories, they would give these people their stories, and everyone I spoke with and gave that information to would light up in response and say, oh yeah, that makes total sense to me. You know, I remember that moment in my childhood when I was missing for a little bit, or, you know. So I started to reflect on that myself, and what surfaced was a memory of an experience I had when I was around the age of 3. Where my mother was changing my younger sister, so she would have been about one at the time, my sister, and we were going to take a walk up the block and visit a friend who lived at the end of the block, so maybe 7 or 8 houses away. And very clearly, in the moment, my mother turned and looked at me, this is my memory of the moment, and said to me, Nora, I'm going to change your sister Jill, so why don't you go on ahead, you go walk up to the house ahead by yourself, and we'll meet you there. Okay, now, of course, looking back on it from an adult perspective, my mother never, ever in a million years would have told me to do that. So what I'm aware of is that a being who looked exactly like my mother, or perhaps who even inhabited my mother's body for a moment, gave me that instruction. And I left. I left the house, and I only know now from my mother what occurred. I was missing for a period of time. I eventually was found a couple of houses away in the backyard. I have no recollection whatsoever of what happened between the moment of leaving my house, hearing my mother say, go ahead, and being found. I remember being found because there was a lot of emotion and energy, and I was in huge, huge trouble, which was very upsetting to me because clearly my mother had told me in my own consciousness, go on ahead. So I'm aware that at that point some genetic manipulation or alteration was done. Something was switched on in my genetic code that I think simply makes it a bit easier for me to identify as Pleiadian and connect with the Pleiadian collective. And my understanding is that many of us on this planet have had similar experiences.
Yeah. Yeah, wonderful. And really, I feel the connection between you and the Pleiadians is really so close. And also the transition from your consciousness to theirs, it happens like so quickly. And you don't need like a process for that or something like that.
Greetings, Monsef. This is the Pleiadian Collective. It is wonderful to have this opportunity to connect with you and all of the other beautiful universal beings of love and light that you are, who are tuning in right now to this broadcast and who will be tuning in at other points in time to listen to our transmission. So let's have you all take a breath, and we'll answer that question, that comment you were putting out there about how quickly Nora shifts between Nora voice and our voice. We'll talk about that and why that is, and we'll help you all understand the ease in which you all can have this experience as well, because that's part of our work with you. It's not just to deliver information and transmissions and downloads of energy. Our work with you is in helping you become more sovereign, access more of your greater identity, more of your power, and along with that comes ease in connection telepathically with other beings and then accessing that information and either bringing it through in a direct voice channeling format as Nora is doing right now, or bringing it through in other kinds of experiences and transmissions, whether that be through writing, through art, through teaching, through storytelling in other ways. There's so much through the way you move your body, the the experiences you have. You're never, ever separate from the greater reality and the greater experience. All you ever do at times is use your third dimensional minds as filters, those mental bodies, to trick you into believing you are separate. And that was part of the game here. So let's have you put your attention, all of you, on your breaths and on your bodies. And just inhale and exhale gently. And just notice in this moment how you feel. Where are you at? Physically, emotionally, energetically. Just really notice what's getting activated in you right now. And that's something we do. That's something our energy absolutely does for all of you. It acts as an activator. So don't be surprised if some of you are accessing some extreme sensations in your bodies, any one of them, emotional, physical, mental, energetic. Let those experiences happen. Do not judge them, all right? Because we really help you identify any and all areas where you're holding on, areas of darkness and shadow that you haven't tended to, so you can be more unconditionally loving with yourself and all aspects of yourselves, and embrace your higher self from within. So now just put your attention on your heart center. And really just take a big breath in and feel your heart opening up and feel your heart receiving. So feel that portal there in your heart center, in your fourth chakra. And as you inhale, feel that portal opening up and feel you receiving a big transmission of unconditional love. And as you exhale, allow that unconditional love to move throughout your systems. Your third dimensional energetic body and all the systems related to it. Your fifth dimensional energetic bodies and all the systems related to that. And just let that transmission of unconditional love go where it needs to go. So with every inhalation of breath, you receive more of that supporting, loving energy. And with every exhalation of breath, you allow that support to run through your own systems. And we're really feeling you all very present right now. So what we want you to start to feel here now is the truth of your connection with all that is. Not as individual pieces of energy expressing themselves outside of you and you're drawing a line between the two of you, all right? So we don't want you to run the illusion of separation. We want you to truly, in this moment, allow yourselves to inhabit the understanding of oneness. That you are, as well, the piece of furniture you're sitting on. That you are, as well, us. That you are, as well, Nora. That you are, as well, Monsef. That you are the other beings in your house. That you are the other beings in your neighborhood. Because you are all, we are all love incarnate. We are all source energy fragmented into too many pieces to possibly count. Yet we are all that energy working in harmony, co-creating, collectively creating with other aspects of ourselves. All right, so you can bring your attention present here again, and we'll respond to that comment you made there, Monsef, about Nora and her ability to shift so quickly between Nora and the Pleiadians. And that is because Nora does not differentiate between herself and us, the Pleiadian collective. She has developed a real sense of oneness and unity with our energy, and that happens in a couple of ways for her. One, because she experiences herself as Pleiadian genetically. She feels that in her own physical body, that kind of Pleiadian expression of energy physically in her genetic makeup, partly through her ancestry and then also partly because of the genetic manipulation she experienced when she was young. And then also she's able to remember incarnations throughout the Pleiadian star system. And then thirdly, she's beginning to integrate much more deeply and physically operate as a being of oneness. So for her, there really is no difference between a third dimensional experience and a 12th dimensional experience. And her and the Pleiadians or Yeshua or any of the other beings she works with or interacts with on a day-to-day basis. Yeah, this is Nora. So that's very magnanimous of the Pleiadians to say it that way about me. I would say that is not always, of course, true. In my ego experience of life. It is true for me, however, always in my connection with the Pleiadians.
That's wonderful.
I am still a work in progress. Just ask my husband, as, you know, are all of us.
That's funny. And, I really loved when they talked about oneness, because we are starting to be aware of that and maybe to understand just a little bit of it, but maybe like from an intellectual perspective, because we still didn't get it fully, like that we are all one. So I don't know if you can maybe explain it, how it can be manifested on our physical plane.
Yes, this is the Pleiadians here. So the thing that we'll talk about what prevents you from experiencing oneness. And the thing that prevents you from experiencing oneness truly under the underlying energetic is fear. And that fear often then manifests as judgment. All right. So anytime you're employing a judgment, you're doing so as a reaction to fear. Now, part of this is unavoidable right now because you are still running the illusion of the third dimension, which allows you the experience of separation. So the truth is, none of you can yet, nor are you supposed to yet, experience the totality of oneness in a timeless kind of way. You're not supposed to. But what you're able to now is grab these moments of oneness. So here's how we see you being able to actualize it in your physical reality, these moments of oneness. All right, so channeling is a way to do it, obviously, right? Because Nora is not just Nora now. Nora is also Nora and the Pleiadian collective and actually all of you. Because one of the ways we're able to deliver the information through Nora is by tuning in and connecting with and accessing all of your records and data and bringing through the information that is of greatest service to all interacting with the information in the moment, meaning we are all collectively creating this experience of us moving through Nora. We are all one here right now in this moment. Yes, mind's blown. Let your minds be blown. Blow out a filter there where you can access it, all right? Mm-hmm. But the other way to do this is to stop trying to use your mental bodies to help you understand everything about reality, because they're not set up. Your third-dimensional minds are not set up to help you understand fifth dimensional concepts and above. Your third dimensional mental bodies are there to filter out that information so you can play the 3D game. So what you've got to do then is really run your experience through your heart chakra first. So when your mind starts to try to put it together like a puzzle, like Nora was talking about earlier in her limitations in expanding, because she was over intellectualized as a being in her younger years, She actually limited herself from the true expansion that was available to her. Now, part of that was a timing issue for her, and she set it up that way for herself so she wouldn't awaken too early, all right, because she needed to activate on a certain timeline. So there was a little bit of pre-incarnational instruction there from her higher self. So that's important for y'all. That's really, let's just talk about that piece right now. Yeah. So many of you feel as if you're behind, as if you've awakened too late, as if you're getting into this way too late. And we will tell you that every single one of you are exactly where you need to be. You are perfect exactly as you are. And this is another way to interpret oneness, all right? Because when you run that understanding of yourself and then you're able to apply that to the world around you, suddenly you all sync up in harmony. And you are all the same.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, I know how you described that, because sometimes we feel that maybe we judge ourselves because we feel that we still have too many things, like too many densities to release, and like if we are late to awaken. And yeah, I really love that. And yeah, part of the your teaching is the integration of the fifth dimensional identity and the reascension. So what I understand is that this is not the first time that we ascend.
That's correct. Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
It is the first time, however, you are all shifting yourselves from the inside out in tandem with a planetary body. All right. So here's the way you've done it in the past. We'll use the Mayans as an example. What the Mayans did was they raised their personal vibration collectively to a point where they took themselves, the fairies did this as well, all right? So you had the fairy collective used to be third dimensional beings that were incarnate on planet Earth side by side with all of you, another species altogether that you all knew to be fairy. And in fact, we'll just take it into the fairy here. And then at some point, it became clear as Christianity swept across your worlds and there was all of the violence and persecution that went along with that. The fairy no longer felt safe in this environment. They were being hunted, killed, tortured, raped, all right? And we're giving you that piece right now because a lot of you carry this trauma, and it's, for a lot of you, formerly unidentified trauma. So we want you to give it to yourselves right now. For anybody who just felt something in your body when we said that about the fairies being hunted, killed, raped, tortured, right? Let yourselves feel if that perhaps was your experience, and just give yourself a moment here to take a breath and send love to any and all aspect of yourself that's still holding that trauma on whatever timeline in whatever lifetime. All right, so the fairy species collectively said, all right, we've got to raise our vibration and ascend into the fourth and then the fifth dimensions. So collectively, they did that as a group, energetically, and took themselves out of the third dimension. That's the reascension or ascension process, okay? And we always say reascension because you're already from the highest place you can possibly come from in this universal construct. You're from source energy, right? You're not originally third dimensional beings hacking your way or climbing your way up the ladder of the ascension process. No, you've already had all those higher experiences. So to redo something is much easier than to think, oh, I'm doing this for the first time. But there is now an aspect of the game that you're running that is new. So instead of taking your energy up and out, meaning your body's along with you, what you're doing now is you're running that higher energy down through your chakra systems, which is allowing you to clear all of this trauma here in the third dimension from all of these other lifetimes and peel back the covering of the third dimensional costume and allow yourself to see, ah, I already am my higher self right now. All right, so this process is underway for all of you. So what's happening in your third dimensional chakra systems is the game we play is we invite you to invite your fifth dimensional identities or your higher selves to more fully inhabit your chakra system. Significantly right now, your lower chakra system, all right, because the lower chakras, 1, 2, and 3, are the chakras that most govern the manifestation of your physical reality. That's where you play in density. So you're allowing yourselves here. So we're saying you're allowing yourselves to invite your higher selves to integrate into your lower chakra systems, right? So that allows you to pull higher energy into your body and run it down into your lower chakra systems. But what you're really doing there is you're releasing trauma that keeps you from accessing the truth that you already are your higher self, all right? So you don't really have to pull in the energy of your higher selves, but when you pull that higher energy in, it allows you to clear the trauma, which then lets you see, ah, I am that fifth dimensional version of me right now. And as you start to access that truth in your lower chakra system, then you start to alter your physical vehicle, your body, and then your physical reality, and all the laws that go along with 3D, and start to inhabit both the reality of 3D and 5D at the same time. And that's what you're doing right now, okay? So we'll talk about time, for instance. So you're still using and running off of linear time, and yet at the same time, you're fully able to access a completely timeless and in-the-moment experience. In the same moment, you're doing both. Mm-hmm. I had an experience of this last night. So I want to just offer a kind of very concrete physical example when it comes to time and using fifth dimensional technology to manipulate time, my experience of time, and the reality around me as well. So John and I went to Los Angeles yesterday for an event, and then we wanted to stop for dinner afterwards at a restaurant that's new. It's 100% organic. It's 100% vegan. It's a very, very special place, and we really wanted to have the experience of being there and enjoy it. So when we pulled up, the valet said, oh, you don't have a reservation? Oh, they're not taking anyone without a reservation. So I sat in the car for a moment, and here's what we wanted. We wanted to pull up, we wanted to dine, and then we wanted to be home to see Zoe, our dog, at a certain time, because we'd been away from her all day, and we were feeling that disconnection from her and wanted. So I had a very kind of clear idea of what I wanted. So the valet said, no, you can't, you know, you cannot have that reality. So I thought, we wanted to leave an hour later after we got there. So I thought I felt into my body and I said, no, I don't accept this reality. And I had no attachment when I felt that no. I just could feel very clearly inside of me where I said, no, I don't accept that as my truth in this moment. So I said to John, I'm going to go in and check. So I talked to the hostess and she said, oh yeah, we can put you on the waiting list. It'll be an hour for a table, you know, before you get a table. And I looked at her and I smiled and I said, no, I can't do that. That doesn't work for me. And she said, okay, well, maybe it'll be a half hour. And I said, even that is kind of long. And she smiled back at me and she said, you know what, why don't you just wait? If things happen sometimes here, you know, so I went out and I got John and we came back in and we went out on the patio for a minute. It was really beautiful there. And then we walked back to the hostess stand and looked at the menu, and then she said, oh, we have a table for you. It's 5 minutes later, and then our salad was on our table 3 minutes later, and our entrees like 10 minutes later, and we were out the door exactly an hour after we arrived initially, which is exactly the intention I had for us, the intention John had. But what I also had was no attachment, because it was just dinner at a restaurant, you know? It's not that big of a deal. This is a Pleiadians here. So Nora is sharing with you something very concrete and something that seems rather insignificant, right? Dining out. But that's where you're most powerful right now, in the accessing of your fifth dimensional technologies. It's in these moments, in fact, when you don't have a lot at stake. Because when you have the illusion of having a lot at stake, then you form significant attachments, and those attachments prevent you from opening up and accessing the 5D technology. So start to play with this, all of you, in these moments where you're reaching for something, you're told you can't have it, you don't have a real strong attachment to it, and play in this way, as Nora did last night. You know, and the thing that was so wonderful for me is I knew I was playing with the hostess as well. Like, she totally caught on. I could see her fairy self coming forth and offer, you know, I saw her offering her 5D self in a co-creative play and dance here with us to allow us to have a table. You know, and as I left, I handed her a tip. I don't normally tip hosts and hostesses at a restaurant, but I so appreciated that play and that tip that I gave her. It was a true expression of love and gratitude and an acknowledgement of that play in the moment. Then I went off on this whole tangent in my thinking. I was thinking about all this morning about money, you know, and how we play with money, how we use money. This is the Pleiadians here. You know, when you're still using money in your reality, right? Okay, so, and you see money as this thing that is very separate from you, all of you, right? You gotta have it to have the thing you want. It's outside of you as well as the thing you want. It's outside of you. All right, bring it all inside of you, right? Feel it all in your own body. So, your connection to prosperity, it's not even a connection to prosperity, it's your prosperity. Land it right in your own bodies right now. Feel your own prosperity, your own abundance. And when you then, from a place of ease, turn the faucet on in this way, you can then allow it to flow through you and out to others in extremely generous and loving ways, and allow that money to be an expansion, expression of your love and generosity, not in place of love, all right? That's been a problem on your world. Those of you using money in place of an expression of love, but you can use it as an expression of true love because you'll feel that as you send it out. Then this is Nora, and I felt that. You know, as I handed that beautiful being who was in the body of hostess at this restaurant, it was a total love connection when I grabbed her hand and handed her that bill. You know, it was, I could feel it happen in our hands, that connection of love there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really beautiful. I love your this experience. And it's we just need to be clear about our intentions, and as you said, to be detached from the outcome and not like cling to it too much. And
yes, and also you have to be willing to say no to what is not working for you in the moment. That's so incredibly important for all of you, right? When you say I want this, and immediately you're told no, that's a game you often play with yourselves. Okay, are you going to dim your light in that moment and accept the rejection? Or are you going to take a breath, center yourself, say, oh, no, that doesn't work for me. I'm going to reach again. Mm-hmm. Because it's always in the reaching again and again and again that you integrate your higher selves more fully, that you activate that greater technology, and then you begin to really radically alter your physical reality. Okay, so then you get to the point where the things that do really feel big to you, you suddenly feel you have the ability to shift. But you've got to start. You've got to start with a table at a restaurant to be able to get yourself there. Yep. You know, it's funny. They told me this morning. They're like, oh, you have to share the story about what happened at the restaurant last night. I was like, no. Like, come on. But I understand now. I understand now.
They are right, So really, I love this experience. And it makes it like very clear. It's maybe a small experience, but it really like explains how things work. So
Yes, and it's funny because there was a moment when I could feel some real disappointment in my body. Like, I really wanted to have this experience of being in this high vibrational restaurant. So I let myself feel my disappointment. But then I didn't use my disappointment to create my next moment, which would have been us getting in the car, driving 2 hours home, hungry, feeling bad. Instead, I felt my disappointment. I took a breath. I sent love to myself very quickly. And then I said, no, let's see if something else can happen now. So this is something else we're getting much better at, I think all of us, is of simply observing what we feel in the moment. So it's very interesting for me, somebody who, again, grew up in this very, my intellect was really valued and my emotions were not, to now really recognize the power of my emotion and observing my emotional experience, and yet at the same time not allowing every crazy random emotion I have to dictate my reality to me, which is the way, of course, I did operate for a long time in this life, and I think that's the way we all have. This is the Pleiadians here. What Nora is talking about now is just simple law of attraction, right? So in 3D, in law of attraction, in the 3D reality, you use your emotional body to attract to you your realities, all right? So that's why mental and intellectual affirmation only work doesn't work for all of you, because you can't just say, I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich, over and over to yourself, and yet feel poor at the same time or undeserving and be rich. It doesn't work. So instead, what you've all begun to remember is how powerful your emotions are, how it's really your emotional bodies that have been fueling your manifestation of the physical there for eons on planet Earth. Now you're shifting, of course, right? So you're shifting into using frequency and vibration to create. So the difference between an emotion, let's say the emotional state of joy, all right, so the emotional state of joy is bright, it's loud, it's big, it makes you want to dance, it's right, the emotions are big, it's like a big amusement park, the emotional reality. The frequency and vibration of joy, it's a little quieter, it's a little softer, but it's even more powerful because it's more focused. Just feel that in your bodies, all of you, the difference between running something as an emotion and then experiencing the vibratory essence of it instead. And the power in those vibratory rates. And how that's your 5D operating system. That's how your 5D operating system works. Okay, you use frequency and vibration in 5D to manifest at will, boom, in the moment, all right? And then you shift at will, in the moment, in the 5D, okay? So there's no having to undo something over the period of time that you took a period of time to bring into reality, like 3D. And this is happening for you all now. You have the ability to shift your realities at will, in the moment. And again, that's partly what Nora was describing there last night in her experience. She went through about 5 or 6 different realities right there in the span of 2 or 3 moments of actual linear time.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really wonderful. And now I would love if we can let also our audience ask their questions.
Yeah, excellent. I was thinking the same exact thought.
So this is a synchronicity. We are in.
We are one, Monsef.
Yeah, right. All right. We have a caller from Bellevue. Phone number is 6414. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? What is your name?
Can you hear me? My name is Erica.
Welcome, Erica. What is your question?
Hi. Nora, I know you work with Yeshua as well. And I was wondering, I was recently told that I had a past life connection with Jesus. And I was wondering if you could confirm that or give me more information on that lifetime.
This is Yeshua. We greet you with love and joy and honor your light, Erica. So instead of confirming or denying for you, your own truth. We want to help you better understand your own truth. So let us ask you, when that information was given to you, it was given to you by another, is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. Good. So when that information was given to you, how did you feel in your body?
I did feel, I don't know, sort of a warmth, or I really don't know how to explain it. I guess it sort of seemed to resonate with me.
Fantastic. That's excellent. Yes. We're not here to at all deny your experience. We could feel you hesitate there because you were afraid that you might not be giving the right answer. But we want you all to feel incredibly empowered in the accessing of your own information. And often the way you're going to access pieces of information about yourselves first is through somebody else delivering the message to you or the information to you. All right, so that's the way you set it up for yourself there, that you couldn't have that direct access yourself. That's the illusion you were running. So you welcomed in this other being and had them give it to you, and that ignited in you your own memory, correct?
I think so.
How are you feeling right now as you connect with us, the Yeshua energy, as we interact directly with you, Erica? How do you feel in this moment?
There's a lot of warmth, especially in my heart and extending into my arms. It's sort of an excitement, or I don't know, fear.
That's fantastic. Just continue to breathe. So we want to share with you all just a little bit of information about who we are, the Yeshua Collective, and the story that you all run there about one man named Jesus, and how we and you are all much more than that. So approximately 2,000 years ago on your world, a little bit more than that, a group of beings arrived to change the dynamic and the power structure that had been ongoing on Earth for eons, all right? So for eons, you had many different extraterrestrial beings and other kinds of beings from other realms and dimensions inhabiting your Earth in the guise of gods and goddesses, wreaking havoc, playing power games with the Earthlings and the humanoids on Earth and all life on Earth. These beings often were in conflict with each other and were warring with each other at the same time. And at a certain point in time, the mess that was being played out on Earth created such a disruption that there were universal ramifications. So the Yeshua Collective was formed and sent to Earth to put an end to that extraterrestrial interference and manipulation, and to help you all access the truth that you are sovereign, you are God, the truth of one God, meaning all are God, the truth of oneness. We came, we taught, we helped to shift. We performed what appeared to be miracles because the consciousness was accepting of miracles, because you'd witnessed so many amazing things occur because of the ETs that had been interacting with you all. And we helped to change the narrative on your world away from the idea of the many gods and goddesses to one God, one being. Then there were beings on Earth and the ETs who didn't enjoy that their game was coming to an end, so they created some resistance, and in that resistance there was some persecution of some of us that were incarnate, although many of us left. Many of us just either got on our ships or took our bodies out of the third dimension. There were a few who stayed who were persecuted. Thus, the Jesus story was born. What occurred a few hundred years later is our original information, that original narrative of one God, you are all God, we are all God, was taken, rewritten, and changed to there is one God outside of you that monotheistic idea of a bigger being running the show. That was changed by the Illuminati and Anunnaki powers that were still present on Earth. Many of you who participated in that adventure back then, and Erica, that is the story we'll give you today. That was your story. You came here with that group. Many of you, we're all here back now to re-implement the truth that all are source energy. There is no separation. There is no other being named God. And in fact, the word God is something you're all collectively going to find yourselves finally releasing completely from your vocabulary and your consciousness as you adopt an idea and an understanding of yourselves as love incarnate, source energy. Thank you, Erica.
Can you confirm? I was told I was his daughter, Sarah. Is that
all right? So what true? We're saying to you is you may have had an incarnation, yes, but where you came in as the daughter of a being who operated as a healer and a guide at that time. But what we're telling you is the traditional story of Jesus itself, from our perspective, is not true. So if you're running a story related to that particular mythology, that's simply you trying to open up to this bigger story we just gave you.
Okay.
Thank you, Erica.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Erica. Wow. That was beautiful. And I really felt the energy when the collective, the Yeshua collective came in. It was like really calm and warm. And
Yeah. Yes, thank you for calling them forth, Erica. I appreciate, always appreciate when Yeshua is called on.
Beautiful. And now we have a question from Lily from Boston. She wrote, I have difficulty to stay in my power because I am like a sponge of the energy around me. Could you give me some guidance and universal intelligence of how to allow this, how to not allow this anymore? Thank
yes.
you, blessings.
This is the Pleiadians here. That's a fantastic question. So all of you are empathic to some degree, some of you more than others, all right, on the spectrum of experiences. Empathic meaning you feel the feelings of the beings around you as if they are your own feelings, and you have a hard time differentiating between what it is you actually feel about certain things and what the rest of the world is feeling or the person next to you is feeling about that thing. So you might choose to feel happy about something and the person next to you is feeling sad about it, and suddenly you find yourself feeling sad about it yourself, and then you can't find your own damn truth because you're so overwhelmed by the emotional truth of everyone around you. Yes, and now you all operate this way because you are all one, yes, so there you go. That's all an illusion anyway. So yes, the sadness of the person next to you is also your own, and yes, you are asking, how do you stay in your power here? How do you not get knocked off center yourself? So many of you walk around operating like industrial vacuum cleaners when it comes to the emotions of the world around you, meaning you don't just recognize what's being reflected around you as yours. You suck it into your own energy field and then try to fix and heal their stuff in your own body and in your own emotional experience, all right? So you're like these big vacuum cleaners walking around, and that's your experience there. So instead of operating like a vacuum cleaner, our recommendation instead is that you operate more like a leaf blower, all right? So instead of absorbing it all, that kind of difficult, darker energy inside of you, or what you'd call darker, and trying to lighten it up from within, we want you instead to open up, receive higher vibrational energy. So you just do this very simply with your breath. You just inhale, and then as you inhale, open your heart chakra and your crown chakra and receive higher vibrational information. See it as golden light, silver light, white light, pink, whatever works for you, all right? Let the visual cue come on your own, or just know what color it is, or just feel it. You all interpret information and energy differently, so there's not any one thing that's right here. But just as you breathe, breathe that in, and as you exhale, run that energy through your body first, all right? So that flushes you out and keeps you clear, keeps you in your own power. But that doesn't satisfy your desire to operate as a healer, not fully. So then what you can do is, once you've allowed yourself to bring enough of that energy through and in, so you're feeling in a higher space again, so you have your point of focus again, then you can feel your heart really start to open and expand more. You'll feel the energy running into your shoulders, into your arms, into the palms of your hands. You'll feel your chakras activate, and then you can send that higher vibrational energy out into the world around you. And it goes then directly to the being who's holding that sadness or that anger or frustration. So with every inhalation of breath, you allow more energy in that's supportive and higher vibrational. And with every exhalation, you run it out, and your hands operate like that leaf blower, where you're blowing that higher vibrational energy into the consciousness around you.
Wow, I love that process. Thank you so much for sharing it.
Yeah, you're welcome. And if I can say to Erica as well, I know who's still tuning in, my sense of it is that, you know, you're wanting to activate some healing abilities within yourself, or strengthen the ones you've already accessed, and I can feel some encouragement to do so. You know, and anybody who's feels a connection to the Yeshua energy, the Yeshua vibration, that frequency specifically, more often than not, has a very strong desire to do hands-on healing type work and to work with energy in this way. And I highly, highly encourage it. And know that you don't have to go through a whole long series of classes and programs to activate as a hands-on healer. It's as simple as doing this exercise the Pleiadians just gave.
Beautiful. Thank you, Nora. And let me invite another caller. Sorry. We have a caller from Fresno. Phone number ending with 1418. Hello?
Hello?
Hello. What is your name?
Hi, my name is Katie. Thank you so much for taking my call. Oh,
welcome, Katie.
Nora, I have been listening to you for so long. You resonate so much with me, and so many of the things that you say are like, yes, finally, somebody's explaining that. Thank you. Yes, finally, yes, exactly. Okay, great. And I'm just, I just absolutely love everything you say. It's just wonderful, and it's so great that you're bringing this out, and so people like me are going, yes, thank you so much.
thank you, Katie. Thank you so much.
So I don't know if this question is for you or the Pleiadians, or I guess my question really is, I've had some really profound experiences and some experiences with channeling also that were really, really profound, like you were explaining in the beginning when the love was just like out of this world. It's like so humbling. It just brings you to your knees. You know, it's like, oh, my God, you truly are feeling wow. You know,
yes.
You know what I
yes,
mean.
Yes, I do.
So I had that really, really intense one once, and that is all. And it came through me. I don't know exactly who it was. Since then, I've gotten some verification of who it was that was coming through me. I actually group that it was, but I have been not successful in repeating it. And I'm wondering why. I'm wondering
actually,
what can I do?
This is the Pleiadians here, Katie. Actually, that's not true that you haven't been successful in reconnecting with them. What happened in that day when you first felt that initial transmission of unconditional love was you dramatically altered your vibration and frequency. A lot of what you were feeling that day was your own experience of your own shift. All right, well, you completed that shift. So the truth is you're in constant telepathic connection with that collective, you're just not you're not recognizing that you are because you have an expectation that you should be feeling it the same way.
Right. So,
the thing is, this is Nora. You've got to let it be commonplace for you now. Like, I don't have those big emotional experiences when I channel any longer. I don't feel it the way I did initially in the beginning at all. It feels very mm-hmm. common and very ordinary to me to channel. Mm-hmm. And that mm-hmm. is really how it should be for all of us, because as fifth dimensional sovereign beings, you know, that's what we're activating as now. Telepathy mm-hmm. is no big freaking deal.
No, that's true. And that's happened a lot more too. And that's like crazy. It's like crazy. I mean, I play with it so much. It's insane how I could just think something and someone will say it, or I know it's just out of this world, but I don't feel,
Katie, it's that you're not trusting yourself. That's really what the issue is. All right. You've got to give yourself permission now. From our perspective, to start channeling for other people, just uh-huh. give them the information you're getting, practice uh-huh. in that format without uh-huh. running any expectation about the experience you should be having. The only way okay. you're going to validate for yourself now that you're actually doing it is when you start mm-hmm. to give others information that you couldn't mm-hmm. possibly know yourself and have them say to you, wow, that's right on the money.
So you don't necessarily feel that it is separate from you, because that first incredible first time, it was definitely it wasn't my mentality. It was something huge and great and big that just came inside, and it was, you know, so I definitely, it's almost like I want to just have a conversation with that energy. And so what you're saying is it is happening telepathically. I just have to trust what I'm getting.
Yes, it is happening. And you're not recognizing it because you're stuck on that one experience of being the validation that you're actually having it.
Yeah.
But what happened for you in that moment is that you radically shifted, Katie. That is what you experienced, was your own radical shift. That's complete. Mm. That's complete now. You don't have to mm-hmm. go through that again to establish contact. You did that day.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for your question.
Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah. My pleasure.
Thank you, Katie. That was really beautiful. And it happens to all of us sometimes when we have like really beautiful and beautiful experience, and we think that it will don't have it again with the same exactly as we experienced it before. We just lose it or something like that. But we just need to be open to receive it in so many different ways. And hello, Nora.
Yep, I'm here. Okay. Yep, I'm okay. Listening. Yes, that's okay, absolutely so true. You know, and that's been my experience for it now. Channeling for me is like making a piece of toast. You know, it's just. and when I say that, I want you all to understand that's not me devaluing it in any way. It's just become extremely commonplace for me to channel and for me to shift into that space and those connections. You know, and I don't think it should be that big of a deal any longer for me and for any of you who are on this journey. It should become commonplace, but again, that doesn't mean it's any less special. It's still incredibly special.
Beautiful. Thank you. And can we take a couple more questions?
Absolutely.
Okay, so we have a question from Elena from Amsterdam. How can one detach from the attachment formed to a big desire to be able to manifest the experience of it? Thanks.
This is the Pleiadians here. What a fantastic question here. All right, so attachment is all about package and outcome. All right, so what you'll say to yourselves is, I've got to have that thing, whether it be an experience, a relationship, a career path, a place to live. And what your mental body does is it starts to fill very quickly in a picture or the details around what it is you think it is you want to have. So it might be a particular person then that you form that attachment to, a particular kind of job, a particular place to live. And then you get very immersed in third dimensional density and you slow yourselves down and you start to put up all of these walls and all of these restrictions and you forget why it is in the first place you wanted the thing, the person, the experience. You wanted it in the first place because of the way you felt when you first engaged around the idea of it. And at that point, the idea wasn't even yet fully formed. It was just a feeling. So what you've got to do is clear out the outcome, all right? Clear out the attachment to the prize itself, because you think the outcome's the prize, but the prize is actually the energetic and emotional experiences that you want to be holding on a regular basis. And that, of course, is how you end up manifesting them within your reality more than just what it is you've become attached to, so much more. You end up then manifesting into your reality many opportunities to experience the joy, the connection, the excitement, the passion, the creativity, the safety, the security, the harmony, the abundance, the prosperity, whatever it is you believe this person, this thing, this experience is going to give you, well, then they never are. The one who's going to give that to yourself is you. So what you've got to do is take your eye off of that distant prize, meaning the outcome, and instead put it right on your body, your own experience right now, and find within yourself, in this moment, where it is in your own body, you're able to hold those vibratory rates that you're seeking and really allow yourself then on a regular basis to just get there, to feel it, and then allow your world around you to change. You operate from this place, you're never going to experience a loss, all right? Because if it's that person you're attached to, let's say, this often happens in relationships, right? You meet somebody, you quote-unquote fall in love, you remember other lives, you define the other being as a soulmate, you've got to have them. You've got to be with that person. If you can't be with that person, your life will be over. It'll all fall apart. But the truth is that you're trying, what it is you're wanting to really experience is that higher feeling you felt within yourself when you first made up the story. So you take yourself back to that higher feeling. That allows you then to pull in the person in the relationship scenario that can play in that higher space with you. And it may or may not be then the one you've formed the attachment around. But if it's somebody else, you won't feel a loss because you've given yourself exactly what it is you wanted in the first place, which was those set of feelings and vibrations. Thank you.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you so much. That was really wonderful. Yeah, it's all about like letting go of the outcome. And
always
just focusing on the experience within
yes.
us.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. This is the Pleiadians. There's one other thing as well we want to touch on here. Mm-hmm. We often see you wanting to predict or wanting to know what's going to happen, right? Trying to divine your own futures. And what you do in that moment is you completely forget you're a creator, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, this is where I'm flashing back to me at 21 years old with my tarot deck in front of me, you know, trying to look at the next 6 months of my life, having no clue in that moment that I was creating the next 6 months of my life. So that really what I was looking at there in that tarot reading was what I would be creating over the next 6 months of my life. So when you start to come at it from this perspective of I am a creator being, then it's not what is it that's going to happen. It's, okay, what do I need to hold within myself so I can continue to create the reality that I desire?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, thank you, Nora. I would like to invite a caller.
Great.
We have a caller from Indianapolis. Phone number ending with 1326. Hello.
Hi. Hi, Nora.
Hi.
Hi there.
What is your name?
Hi. Hi, my name is Sherry.
Welcome, Sherry.
Thank you. I was so moved with all of this. I was almost crying as the Palladians came in. Mm. I can't help but think that, you know, I'm very connected with the Palladians, and I believe also I was probably on Atlantis. My question is there, like, I would like to be able to bring them in meditation. Is there one specific one that I should work with, or do I just call on the Palladians to come and work with me?
That's a fantastic, this is the Palladians, yeah, that's fantastic, Sherry. And so we'll just reflect back, you know, that emotional,
okay,
that emotional experience you were having as, and are
mm-hmm.
having, as you feel our energy and vibration, that's your way of confirming what it is you know to be true, that you have conscious connection with the Pleiadian collective and collectives. All right. No, you don't have to define, I want to talk to this particular collective or that particular collective. All you need to do is put yourself in that meditative space, keep your vibration high, and then open up to the Pleiadian collective that is available to you in the moment. And then that contract, the beings you're already contracted to connect with, it'll become obvious to you. That'll just light up for you then. And it easily could be us. It could be some other version of the Pleiadian energy. And you don't have to worry. You can't screw this up is what.
Okay.
You can only just open up your heart and receive the love that is available to you and have fun with the connection.
I'm just so, it's like the Palladians keep coming up. I've been doing stuff like this for about 9 years, and it's like, you know, I keep hearing Palladians. I'm like, I don't even know what Palladians are, but it's like I resonate so much, and it just keeps coming up. I know it's time for me to start working with them.
Great.
So I can't wait. I'm so excited. Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. And let me say this too. You know, when the Pleiadians said to keep it fun, and this is for all of you, yeah, I think we're, you know, with all the religious programming that we're all still deactivating and clearing, you know, we often come at all this spirituality from this incredibly serious place, right?
Yeah.
And all that does is lower our vibration and dim our lights. So it's really important for you all to lighten up and let yourselves be as joyful, playful, silly even, as you can be. As you connect with these beings, it's just going to strengthen your connection.
Okay. Thank you. This whole call was just amazing. I am like, I'm going to have to take a minute after the call just to let some of it soak in. It was just a lot of energy. I'm almost shaking. It's so much energy. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
Beautiful. Thank you, Shay.
Thank you.
Beautiful. And yeah, I loved when you talked about like taking spirituality very seriously, and like sometimes even ascension and all those things. It's like a serious task that we need to do and we need to reach. So, but we forget to have fun.
Yes.
So, yeah. Beautiful. So, Nora, thank you so much. That was really, really an incredible call. I really love it. Thank you for all the energies, for all the wisdom you shared with us, for bringing in, the Pleiadian and the Yeshua collectives, and also for answering our audience, really wonderful questions. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Monsef, for having me. Thank you again so much to all of you who are tuning in and who will tune in. Know that, you know, whether you're hearing this live or hearing this recorded, same with all the content, you know, because the Pleiadians are not aligned with linear time, as soon as you open up to their transmission, whether, again, it be live or recording, you are opening up to their energy in the moment. They will be present with you there, right there in the moment, as if it is being channeled live for you in that moment. That is also, I find, the power in this work. This is the Pleiadians here. We love you. We love you. We love you. We are always here for all of you. All you need to do is take a breath. Ask for our assistance. Open up your hearts. Let yourselves feel what it is you already know, that you're all connected to us. Thank you so much, Monsef.
Thank you. We love you. Everyone, thank you so much for joining us today live, and also those of you who will be listening on replay. And, thank you for your really wonderful questions and for sharing your energies with us and for co-creating with us this really sacred space. And, I send you tremendous amounts of love. And, so bye-bye, everyone.
If you'd like to listen to live episodes and interact with our speakers, you can go to yourdivineuniqueness.com. Your, Y-O-U-R, divine, D-I-V-I-N-E, uniqueness, U-N-I-Q-U-E-N-E-S-S.com.